and turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. While y'all standing, you know, go to verse 13 through 15. Now, this is not where I really wanted, personally, you know. Personally, I wanted to stay in Ruth and finish chapter 4. And we will. We'll get there next week unless the Lord intervenes. And the Lord jumped on me and said, we need to do this today. Amen. And so, look, at the end of the day, I don't have to necessarily answer to you, but I will answer to him. Amen. He going, you know, just like you going to get judged, I'm going to get judged. Amen. We all going to have to stand before him and say, you know, what did you, you know, I gave you one talent. What you do with your one talent? But, you know, I sat on it, Jesus. Jesus said, well, you sit over there. I got something for you. Amen. Amen. All right. You found it. As people still turning, I don't want you to say, okay, all right. Galatians chapter 5. Like I said, now we have a Sunday school. Amen. Amen. Not a Sunday school, but we got two. I put two fingers on two hands. We have Sunday school. We have two classes. Now don't y'all be upset with the Sunday school director. Y'all be upset with me when we split you again. Amen. We're gonna split you and we're gonna keep splitting. You know what? That's how, you know, in nature, that's how things grow. Amen. It's called, I forgot what it was called, but it's called when the cells divide, right? And that's how you make whatever, human beings, creatures, things. You know, we ain't one-celled organisms, whatever. Don't y'all run nowhere with that.
That's what makes organisms.
Bring your head back up. Galatians chapter 5. Y'all don't have enough time to get there. Verses 13 through 15, and it reads on this wise. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Before you take your seat, let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for just one more day. But not just one more day, but just one more Sunday. That you've put it in our hearts to come this way just one more time. That we might give you praise, glory, and honor. That, Lord, that we might come and leave it all on the floor. And not that we're leaving our praise on the floor, Father God, but we don't want to leave this place filled with praise, but we want to leave ourselves emptied of praise and looking for you to fill us with your spirit. And so we come, Father God, asking, Lord, work on us, move on us. Give us that fire and that desire, Lord, to open our mouths and our hearts to give you praise, glory, and worship. Our prayer is, Father God, that you would not just open our hearts and our minds to give you praise and worship, but open us to hear from you. We realize that our prayers are a dialogue. We call out to you and you respond to us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would fill our hearts with your word, that they would find a lodging place in our heart, and that having found that lodging place, that they would produce fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And then, Father God, I come praying and asking that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Let the words that I speak be not of me, but that they would be of you, and that they would go forth with clarity and with power, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Lord, I pray right now that your will be done, and we'll be quick and careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. For this we ask in Jesus' mighty name, and we all do say, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and just for a few moments of your time, we just want to talk about love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Old English, Old King James says love thy neighbor. But we find in the New King James Version, it says love your neighbor. But at the end of the day, the operative word is what? Love. Well, that's what we're looking, and that's what God is looking for us to do, is to love. And so with that being said, I turn rapidly to my TV viewing habits. And she already started laughing. And, you know, for the most part, I like to watch the news. I mean, most people, you know, I like the news. I like the news, and I watch, you know, football games, and, you know, I might watch some other stuff. And I do like to watch, and, you know, my people, my family think I'm kind of strange because I like the National Geographic Channel.
Yeah.
You know, see, look, see, Marshall, me, that's why Marshall sits next to me. Because we watch the National Geographic Channel, and on the National Geographic Channel, it's got like animal shows, right? You know, and they, you know, they got the, and then they got the other show with the people who live in Alaska. And I like watching that. It's crazy, I know. Yeah, there you go. I got another one. Okay, I got another. And okay, all right, I ain't by myself. So, you know, we watching them shows. We are the people that's keeping them employed. Amen. And every so often I watch Dr. Paul, the incredible Dr. Paul. Yeah, there you go. Okay. See, look, you know what? If I keep saying stuff long enough, y'all will raise your hand. I watch the incredible Dr. Paul. And you know, and my family looking at me like I'm crazy because they know I don't like pets. I mean, right. If you can't eat it, I ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, I mean, look, I've never eaten a dog, at least not knowingly, or a cat, at least not knowingly. You know, way back in the day, we used to think teriyaki was a cat. that's way back in the day. But I like watching Dr. Paul because just for whatever reason, I just, you know, Dr. Paul is he's a veterinarian in Michigan, and he takes care of, you know, like, pets, but most of what he takes care of are farm animals, right? And so they follow Dr. Paul around and his son Charles, right? You know, I watch the show because I know the people's name. So, you know, he'll ride around, right? But he'll do a lot of stuff in the office. And so it just so happens on this particular show that I was watching, right? A lady brings her goat into the office. You got to remember now, this is Michigan, and, you know, these people live in, you know, in the back, you know, like where we used to live, but that's where they're living. And this woman brings her goat. I'm like, why would you bring a goat? But anyway, she brings the goat to the man's office, right? And she brings the goat in to get the goat checked out. And, you know, she goes to the doctor, Dr. Paul, and she says, well, Dr. Paul, the goat is malnourished, and we don't know what to do. And so Dr. Paul, being Dr. Paul, he conducts an examination of the goat, right? And he looks at the goat, and he says, yeah, you're right, the goat is malnourished. But I don't see any reason as to why the goat is malnourished. And so Dr. Paul asked this question. He said, are there any other goats that you have? Well, the lady said, yes, as a matter of fact, I got three more. I don't know about you, but that's one is enough, but four is too many. So he says, okay, all right, I think I know what the problem is. You see on your goat, you see on the haunches, it's back over here by, you know, the buttocks region. He said, "In where the hunks are, I see that there are bite marks on the back end of this goat. And so I think the reason why, when you feed your goats, do you feed all your goats together? As a matter of fact, I do. Yes, I do. I feed them all at the same time and out of the same, pretty much the same kind of trough. And he says, okay, I see what the problem is. See, the other goats are bullying this goat. See, from the bite marks on the back of this goat, this tells me that the other goats are preventing this goat from being nourished. And anyway, don't you know that the same can be true even in the church? We can find that there are, I'm going to say we sheep, right? The Bible says we're sheep, but sheep bite. And sometimes some sheep who have been in the yard a little bit longer than some of the other sheep get to biting on the baby sheep. And sometimes we don't realize that, you know, now sometimes, you know, we don't realize we're biting. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we don't realize we're biting. You know, sometimes, you know, we just saying what we say because we can say it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, some of us get to the point where I'm old enough. I've been around the way long enough. You know, I can say what I want. You know, I'm twice retired. Not me, but some of y'all can say you twice retired. You worked one job, retired from it, went and worked the second job and retired from it. I'm twice retired. I think I've earned the ability to say some things that I want to say.
Amen.
But we have to be careful in regards to the many of the things that we do say.
Yeah.
Because many of us, this ain't our first go-round inside somebody's church. Many of, I won't say many of us, but some of us know about getting church hurt.
Amen.
And then, you know, leaving that church and coming to another church. And then the whole cycle, at least in your mind, starts all over again when somebody says something to you and they don't know your story.
Wow.
All they see is that here you are and you brand new. And I need to let you know that there is a order here. Here in the passage of the scripture that we are going to peruse this morning, just like a good Dr. Paul, good Dr. Paul has written a letter to the church at Galatia, also called Galatians, the book of Galatians. But this area, this region is called Galatia. And in this letter that he writes to the church at Galatia, he tells them about a group of other Christians, and they're called Judaizers. And the Judaizers, those of you who were with me during that Bible study, you know, don't you raise your hand because you already kind of know the story. But I'm going to help and refresh you. The Judaizers were Jewish, but they were Jewish Christians. And they were Jewish Christians, and what they believed was this, is that before you could be a Christian, you must first become a Jew. Now, you couldn't be a Jew per se, but you had to be a proselyte. In other words, you had to take on the things of the Old Testament. You would have to handle all the things that they themselves could not do and were waiting on Christ to come and do. And when Christ came and did it, they said, well, now before you could step into what it is that Christ has for you, you got to walk this gauntlet. You got to do the things that we couldn't do right, but Christ has already done for you. But you got to do it anyway just to show everybody that you like one of us. And what Paul tells them is they ain't got to do what it is that you went through. Christ has already made the way. Jesus has already made the way. It ain't Jesus plus, it's only Jesus. And so just for a few moments of our time, we just want to certainly talk from the idea of loving your neighbor. But if you get this, you get the sermon. We hinder the growth of others when we fail to let them feed. Love your neighbor because you've been called to love. You've been called to love. Paul says, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion for the flesh. For by love serve one another. Paul, at this point, if you're familiar with the letter, he begins the letter and calls them old foolish Galatians.
Yes.
But at this point, now that we're in chapter 5, he reverts and starts calling them brothers. Because he's already given them the bad news. He's already laid the lash, and now it's about time for him to break out the Oreo cookie.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all ever done that? Come on, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You done gave out some whoopings, and at the end of the whooping, you're like, you know what? I feel sorry for that child, but you know what? I'm going to give them this Oreo cookie, and I'm going to tell them that I love them. And, you know, that'll make it all better. You know, and truth be told, when they was young, it worked out, didn't it? You whooped them. They cried real loud, said they were sorry, and you was like, oh, okay. And then you said, come here. Daddy love you. Mama love you. You know, I had to do that so you wouldn't, you know, keep acting like that. But here's a cookie. Here, go sit down.
This is Paul's cookie to the Galatians. And the cookie he gives them is reminding them that you have been set free. You are at liberty. You are not under the law. Jesus has come. Jesus has fulfilled the law. Jesus has done all the things that the Jews could not do, and they were looking for the Messiah to do. And now that the Messiah has done it, it ain't no need for you to go back and try and do what you couldn't do. Amen. It's hard enough just to love. Because once you realize all that love entails, all that love is supposed to do, it's hard to love. It ain't easy. You spend all your time raising that child, not necessarily to act right and become a good citizen, and we thank you for that. But what you were supposed to be doing was raising that child up to love. You know, what kind of kills me is that I'm watching, like, not kill me dead, but just it blows my mind. How's that? It just blows my mind when you see, like, young parents, and they let their kids, like, hit them. I mean, you know, at first it's cute. When you 1 and 2, you ain't going to do no damage. But when they get to about 13 and 14 and there's some oomph behind some of that, you're going to wish you had spanked that hand back in about 2 months. Amen. Well, that's too early to spank them. But you'd wish you had spanked that hand back in the day. I saw this one mother, she grabbed the baby by the hand and the baby was, and she said, love. She took that little baby's hand and she said, love. And she said, love. And the baby got to smiling because she, see, the baby was learning. And see, the thing is, you better be careful what you teach these babies. Right. Because these babies will grow up doing what it is that you taught them. Where did you learn to act the way you learned to act? I'm going to leave it alone. Baby Christians ain't no different from babies. They're going to learn to love from the way that you have loved on them. You got to be careful when whoever walked through this door. Because the fact of the matter is that they've had a life before they got here. Right. They've had to go through some things before they got here. And I can almost bet you dime to dollars, but by the time they got here, they have already suffered some hurt, not just from the world, but maybe from another church. And so that time that we spend with one another, when we say welcome and we shake your hand and we say, man, it's... Oh, wow, Brother Lawson, it is just so good to see you. God bless you, man. I missed you. I ain't seen you all week. I know if I came to the church, I would have saw you, but I missed you all week. Amen. You need to spend that time when you come. Hey, I mean, not necessarily looking for the person to your left or to your right, but I thank God for the person to your left or to your right, but be looking for people that you haven't seen. Amen. They might be in need of a friend. They might be in need of a hug. I ain't going to hug you, Brother Marshall. They might be in need of some loving touch. You know, sometimes there was a time where I was hurt so bad, I put on the darkest glasses I could find, sat in the front row and cried real tears. And nobody knew. Nobody cared at that time. But see, I was mature enough to realize that if don't nobody else love me, God love me. And then sometimes all I could do is cry silent tears of pain and nobody would know. But if somebody had maybe taken the time to come over and say, Stan, what's going on, man? Why are you over here with these dark glasses on and your face wet? Well, I'd have a story to tell. Or maybe if they had loved me prior to, I might have a story to tell. See, the reason why we develop the relationships we develop before we fall into disrepair or despair is so that when we do fall into those, I got somebody I can turn to, somebody I can find. Hey, Brother House, can I talk to you? Can I pour my spirit into you? And sometimes, you know, there's a thing like in chaplain ministry, there's a thing called the ministry of presence. Yeah. That just means that you're there. Yeah. You keep your mouth shut and you just listen to what the other person has to say. Sometimes we, you know, men, I can talk for men because I'm one. Men, sometimes we have a tendency to want to give advice. No, sometimes just shut up. And women, I'm just, you know, I'm just telling you what I ain't a woman, but I'm just telling you what I've seen. Women, don't let it go on too long. Because there's no need for you to relive what it is that you live in. Let the word of God minister to you. You've been called to love. That word love, of course, is the word agape. And that's the one love that is consistent throughout the Bible. There are instances where we see eros. There's instances where we see philo. And there's instances where we see, I forgot the third one, the fourth one actually. But there are instances where we see all those types of love. But the love that is given prominence, the love that is given dominance is the love of agape love. That love. The agape love is the love that God has called us to. And not only has he called us to love, but he's called us to serve in love. And that word serve is the same as the word that you might use for slave. Yes. You to be a slave to love. You to be a slave to love others. The liberty that you have, see, y'all, the only reason why y'all ain't, look, I need a button that I can hit that would say, okay, you know, applause now. I wish I had one of them. When you were set free from all the other things that in the realm of darkness, when you, to all that promiscuity, for all that hanging out at the club and drinking and riotous living, when you came out of that, you were free from that. You moved from darkness into the marvelous light. You gave up a form of slavery that was unto destruction to a form of slavery. Look, you still a slave, but you should be a happy slave. You should be a loving slave. Oh, come on now. Look, y'all gonna make me work today. You ought to be a working, happy, loving slave. Why? Because your master is a working, happy, loving master. When he does what he does for us, he ain't looking for you to pay him back. He's looking for what basically you are supposed to have given him from Jump Street. Can I make it plain? In other words, when he saved you because he loved you. He wasn't looking for you to pay him back because you couldn't pay for it yourself in the first time. You were broke and a joke. You owed and had no hopes of ever paying what it is that what the price had demanded. And you kept racking up a bill. You know, like, there's just some folk that just like that, right? You know, for whatever reason, they find themselves with a credit card. Lord help them. And they start running up the card, right? And they run up the card to such an extent. And you know, credit card companies, they're like, yeah, come get some more. Until one day they cut you off. And then the bill comes due. And then all of a sudden, you can't pay. And then they say, well, that's all right. You got a car. We'll take it. You got a house? We'll take it. What else can you? Matter of fact, you got a paycheck? We'll garnish it. Until you find that you'll never be able to get out of the hole. You are so bankrupt that you can't even get out of the hole. That's how we were in regards to sin. Amen. Then Jesus came,
yes, sir,
and took me in. Pay the debt that I could not pay. Love your neighbor because you've been called to love your neighbor. But then love your neighbor because it's a reflection on you.
Amen.
Love your neighbor because here in the verse 14, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul just simply restates what God has said through Moses, that Jesus himself has said, that we find again repeated throughout Romans, as do James and John, who simply keep saying, love one another. Now, the one thing I have learned in life is this, is that people keep repeating a thing. It's not because you already know. You might already know, but you ain't doing it. And it just might be because nobody in here, before I say this, ain't nobody in here. But if it hits you, okay, you might just be stuck on stupid. If Paul and John and James and Jesus and God keep telling us to love and people still walking around hurt, obviously we ain't doing our job. That means that people, truly, the church is a hospital because we're filled with the walking wounded. I had some dreams, but over at the other church I was at, they destroyed those dreams. So what can you do for me, New Beginnings? I was over here at this other church, and we were so big that wouldn't know when I was missing or when I was sick. I was sick. I couldn't even get a call from the pastor because the church was just that big. He didn't know me. Here, you know what, if you play your cards right, I'll give you my phone number. All you got to do is ask. I've had people call me, Pastor, can you pray? Yes, I'll pray. Because sometimes we just need, not that God don't hear you, but sometimes we just need a physical presence to let us know, I'm in this with you. You're not in this by yourself. I see you Sunday after Sunday. I'm praying for you. I'm praying with you. I'm not praying on you. I'm praying, not p-r-e-y-n. I hope I spelled that right. I'm not praying on you. I don't want nothing from you. I'm here for you. I'm here to be with you. And that's what church life should be. That's why we should take the time when we have the time and that opportunity where we go and we meet and greet one another. Amen. And we say, hey, brother, hey, sister. And we ought to act like at least if you ain't feeling it, even if you ain't feeling it, act like you feeling it. Amen. Because you don't know how your smile may make the world of difference on somebody. They may have come here all beat up and beat down, and they feel like the only place that I might be able to get a smile or a handshake or something is church. And you discover how disappointed they are when they leave and ain't nobody spoke to them. It's a sad indictment on the church when somebody can walk up in here and not have felt the presence of God. And God's presence only show up through you, amen, through the saved. He don't ask, well, I take it back. I started to say he don't ask a lot of us, but at the truth be told, love asks a lot of you. Yes, because when we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul begins to tell us those things that love looks like. Well, what does love look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, there it tells us that love is patient. Love is kind. I don't know about you. You ever tried to be patient? It ain't no trying. You're going to have to be patient. Don't ever make the mistake of asking God to teach you to be patient. I did that one time, and it just seemed like I went from one aggravating situation to the next. God will make you exercise patience. Amen. So look, I got one. I got a second one. John always with me. Bless his heart. Love is patient. Love is kind. But what does kind look like? Kind sometimes is you just keep your mouth shut. Amen. You might have something that's worth the saying, but at the end of the day, sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut. Practice just being present. There's a story that's told about a man. He was having a situation and, you know, his house all blacked out and all that was in the house was him and he was sitting in the chair and the fire was going. And so the preacher came by the man's house, knocked on the door. found the door open. Preacher comes in. Now he's just worried, right? He said, well, let me go check on the fella. So he comes in. It's a darkened room. But like I said, the only thing that's going is the fire in the fireplace, and the man is in the chair. And so the preacher says, hey, I came by to check on you. The man said, I'm here. And so then the preacher says, well, okay, then I'm going to sit down here. And so there they sat for about an hour. They didn't say one word one to the other. Afterward, the man gets up, preacher gets up, and he tells the man, I've got to go now, but I'm glad that I was able to come and spend some time with you. Preacher leaves, and going in his mind, he's going, I don't know what just happened. I showed up, I sat with the man, and now I got to go. I got to be somewhere else. He finds out later on through a letter that the man writes to him. Doesn't come back to church, but he lets the preacher know that just the simple fact that he showed up, the fact that he took the time to sit with him, the fact that he wasn't trying to sell him anything or push anything on him, just the fact that he was there made all the difference in the world. Matter of fact, he says, you saved my life that night. Because I prayed to God. I said, Lord, send somebody. If you don't send somebody here, I'm going to take my life. And sure enough, man of God, when you came through the door, you were the answer to the prayer.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say, God, have the man say something to me. Just send somebody to keep me company. That's the purpose why we come to church, ladies and gentlemen. We don't come to pass out our good intentions, even though they might be good intentions. At the end of the day, we're here to love one another.
Amen.
You shall love your neighbor like you love yourself. Now, as I look around the room, y'all look good. I'm going to assume that most of you who I've come into contact with today, you smell good. Most of y'all before you came ate something. Hopefully you did, because you probably got medication you got to take. Don't act like I don't know what I'm talking about. You look like you take care of yourself. You look like you care something about yourself. Care for others just like you care for you.
Amen.
If you wouldn't want somebody approaching you a certain way, don't approach them.
Amen.
Don't think because you got time on the job or you got time in grade, I'll put it that way, time. Y'all know what time is. I ain't got to tell y'all what time on the job and time in grade is. But for the folk who ain't got no time on, all that means is that you've been a Christian, you've been saved long enough to know better. And because you've been saved long enough to know better, you ought to do better. Sometimes we just have to be able, before we can speak into anyone's life, we have to first be willing to hear their story. That's the interesting thing about this generation and in my generation and the older generation. In some ways, I'm kind of like the older generation. You know, when somebody who is your elder speaks with you, you give them the respect because they're your elder. But this generation is different. You got to earn it. It's not going to be given to you. You have to earn the ability to speak into their lives. I mean, I heard my son. Now, me and my son, we have frank conversations. But you know, they can only be so frank. But we did talk about this. He says, people don't realize that before you can tell me something, because let's just face it, we don't be like, excuse me, young man. You know, it's more like, let me tell you, young man. Before you can speak into my life, I don't care about how much you know. I just need to know how much you care. Once I've been able to figure out how much you care, now I'll listen to what you have to say. And it can't be no one-time conversation in one direction. No, sometimes before you can give out that really good advice, and it might be really good advice, you're going to have to listen to the story.
Amen.
It might cost you more than one or twice. You may have to pay for a breakfast and lunch. Don't pay for dinner because dinner is more expensive than breakfast and lunch. But you may have to spend some money so that you can pour into. Because at the end of the day, you don't know their story.
Amen.
You don't know where they've come from. You don't know what they've gone through. And so before you can give out that wisdom, you got to find out where it is that they're coming from.
Amen.
That's the nature of this generation. You ought to love your neighbor because you've been called to do it. You ought to love your neighbor because you ought to love your neighbor because it's a reflection on you. But then you ought to love your neighbor because anything else is destructive. Paul says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another.
Yes,
and notice this letter that Paul has written. Paul hasn't written this letter to individuals who are not Christians.
Right.
Matter of fact, the totality of the Bible is written for the consumption of Christians.
Yes,
we just find that non-Christians is reading our book. Trying to figure out what is it that... Why are we showing up here on Sunday after Sunday? Do we show up here Sunday after Sunday to hurt each one? Or are we here to love one another?
Amen.
Certainly, Paul makes the argument we ought to love one another because we've been called to do it. Certainly, Paul makes the argument that we ought to love one another because it's a reflection on you. Not only just on you, but it's also a reflection on our God.
Amen.
Because he does the work that he does through people.
Yeah.
He allows you, the master of the universe, allows you. And if you don't realize what a privilege it is for God to use you, then you need to go and study just a little bit longer.
Amen.
See, before you did all the things that you did before, you know, you were doing it unto destruction.
Yes.
But don't you know we have the power of destruction when we bite and fight one another?
Yes.
When we do anything but love, all we're doing is tearing one another down. Now look, I know this ain't a hallelujah message, but it's a message that we need.
Amen.
It ain't a feel-good message, because basically, hopefully, I've poked some people. Now, like I said, we'll deal with Ruth next week, but this week, we want to deal with your heart condition. Because he dealt with my heart condition. See, before you got beat up on, I got beat up on first. Man, I haven't been as loving as I could be. I haven't been as attentive as I can be. To all you who are new, matter of fact, we get up at the end of every service and I say unto each and every soul that it was in hearing that this is the promise that we make to you, that we will love you with the love of the Lord. And give you all that he has to give unto you. I don't want to be a liar anymore. I don't want you to be a liar anymore. We are better than that. I ain't looking for hallelujah. I'm just looking for a change in behavior.
Amen.
I'm looking for us to love one another. We ought to be always ready to fight sin and Satan. But we ought to love one another as sweet as sugar pie. There is a song. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll just give you the words. And it goes, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored.
Yeah.
For they will know that
Christians,
we are Christians
by our love,
by our love, by our love. They will know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will guard each man's dignity and protect each man's pride. And they will know we are Christians. By our love, yes, they will know that we are Christians. by our love. The word of God has gone forth. Thank you.